This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
Let's hit it. Give me a vacation.
Vacation.
Give me a wave.
Surfing.
Give me a city tour.
The trolley.
Give me animals.
The zoo.
Give me some sea life. Give me museums.
Balboa Park.
Give me a woo.
Roller coaster.
What's that spell?
San Diego.
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your family vacation at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Hello and welcome to Savor, a production of iHeartRadio and Stuff Media. I'm Annie Reese.
And I'm Lauren Vogelbaum, and today we're talking about gazpacho.
Gazpacho. That's fun to say.
It is.
Yeah. This is another one that I remember the very first time I had it.
Oh, yeah?
And it was like 5 years ago.
Okay.
It was recent.
Uh-huh.
At a very fancy restaurant in Atlanta. Some would call it the fanciest restaurant in Atlanta.
Oh, Bacchanalia?
Yes. You knew exactly what I was talking about. It was an amuse-bouche, and it came in this tiny little cup, and it was so cute, and it was so delicious.
Oh, that's lovely.
It was very refreshing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I had it way back in high school. I was I took a few years of Spanish in high school because I was living in South Florida at the time. It seemed like the thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a lot easier than French. And we had a version of gazpacho that is not like what I'm going to describe gazpachos being in a second here.
Uh-huh.
But it was very lovely and refreshing.
Yeah. Before this episode, I did not realize how popular it was in Spain.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. It's kind of a thing.
Yeah. I don't think I would have. If you said I had it in high school Spanish class without this knowledge that I now have, I would have been like,
really?
Why? But now I know, and soon you will too, listeners.
Mm-hmm.
Gazpacho always makes me think of a series of unfortunate events.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, from The Wide Window, which I think is the third or fourth. I think it's the third, but anyway.
I think it's the third, yeah.
Quote, as you probably know, chilled cucumber soup is a delicacy that is best enjoyed on a very hot day. I myself once enjoyed it in Egypt while visiting a friend of mine who works as a snake charmer. When it's well prepared, chilled cucumber soup has a delicious minty taste, cool and refreshing as if you are drinking something as well as eating it.
Mm. My mom would make chilled cucumber soup for my school lunches sometimes when
aww.
I was a kid. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Aww. Apparently, gazpacho is an important plot point in The Simpsons, Red Dwarf, Psych, and Chowder.
Hmm.
You can write in about that.
Yeah, in the Simpsons clip, and to be fair, we just pulled this up and watched it to make sure we knew what we were talking about. We wouldn't want to get anything about The Simpsons wrong.
No.
Yeah, Lisa tries to encourage a vegetarian option of gazpacho at a barbecue.
And yeah. And it goes over as well as you might imagine. Yes. Well, she didn't use the best descriptor for it, I would say, not to criticize Lisa. And yeah, it is really popular in Spain. A Spanish refrain goes, quote, there's never too much gazpacho.
Oh, it's de gazpacho no hay empacho. It literally translates to something like there's no indigestion where gazpacho is concerned, but has come to be used to mean you can't have too much of a good thing.
Aww.
Yeah.
Aww. Mm-hmm. That's lovely. But this all brings us to our question, gazpacho. What is it?
Well, gazpacho is a raw vegetable soup blended and served chilled. What those vegetables are can vary pretty widely, but the classic Spanish Andalusian version features tomatoes, bell peppers, and cucumber. Key to making this not just like salsa is that you blend or puree that vegetable stuff with olive oil and stale bread, creating this lovely creamy emulsion and giving the soup some body. Also, the tomatoes' seeds should be sieved out and the skins are usually removed. This version is often seasoned with just a salt, pepper, and a splash of vinegar, preferably sherry vinegar, and the result is kind of tart and vegetal and refreshing, but also smooth and comforting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The name most likely comes from an Arabic word for soaked bread, or perhaps a pre-Roman word for residue and or fragment, or a Greek word for collection box, which sometimes folks would put bread into those collection boxes.
Okay.
Or a Hebrew word meaning break into little pieces.
Yeah, because traditionally you're going to make it with a mortar and pestle. And so, yes, grind those ingredients into little pieces.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So lots of options there. We'll get more into the history.
Oh, yeah.
As per usual, a little bit later. I found some controversies.
Oh, yeah.
Of course. Huh. To use onion or not to use onion? And if so, how much? Garlic. Yes? No?
Spicy peppers? Cumin?
Cumin?
Yeah.
Inhuman. Just like to make some rhymes. Uh-huh. When they're there.
Yeah, there are lots of controversies about what you should and should not put in different types of gazpacho, but there are a lot of varieties and related dishes. Really, gazpacho is a use up what you've got sort of dish, like a use what's freshest and ripest. So anything can go in terms of your vegetable and or fruit base. I've read recipes that include stuff like grapes, strawberries, or honeydew melon, and I am intrigued.
Ooh,
right?
Me too.
Mm-hmm. Possible additions to add body are ground almonds or pine nuts or hard-boiled eggs or raw eggs or homemade mayo. Flavorings can include citrus juice and fresh herbs. For garnishes, anything from diced vegetables of the varieties that you've put in to cooked seafood or boiled egg or cured ham or chopped olives or toasted croutons and on and on.
And on and on and on.
Mm-hmm. And we could probably have a stiff argument about whether adding almonds means you should just go ahead and take out the tomatoes and make an ajo blanco, and at what point the ratio of bread to tomato makes it a gazpacho versus a salmorejo versus a porra entequerana. Lots of variation in there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Little bit of wiggle room.
Some wiggle room, but not too much wiggle room.
No. Mm-hmm. This is the thing. This is the sort of thing that people do have opinions about. I'm not versed enough in it to have opinions. Also, I really can't eat like classic gazpacho because bell peppers.
Right. I've only had it twice, and I've only had the tomato one, the one with tomatoes.
Right. Yeah.
Yes. So I also cannot weigh in too much on this.
Oh, we'll have to figure it out. We'll have to go. We'll just have to go to Spain.
Done. All right. Agreed. That's the simplest way to do it.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. There are even some versions served hot. I know.
What?
Yeah.
What? Oh well, I don't know about that.
I'm sorry if I've said something too shocking.
You have. That was a shocker. I don't know if I can recover. Oh, my goodness. All right. It is super popular in Spain. People drink it straight. I saw many pictures of just gazpacho in people's refrigerators. Kind of like
a pitcher of gazpacho.
Or like a cardboard, you know, here. You just get like a cardboard milk thing.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's frequently served in a glass.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Some people drink it every day. It's a hot weather go-to.
Oh, yeah.
Some Spanish cookbooks classify gazpacho as a salad. It would be in the salad section of their cookbook, a liquid salad.
Liquid salad, mm-hmm. Yeah. And nutrition-wise, it depends on what you put in it, but it's like a liquid salad, lowish in fat and sugars with a good punch of protein and micronutrients, your vitamins and minerals. It's got a lot of vitamin C in particular. And one study out of Tufts University had its participants eat gazpacho twice a day in addition to their usual diet. And within a week, the subjects had lower amounts of these stress-related compounds in their blood, the kinds of things that indicate cellular and system dysfunction. Like, chronically, these compounds can cause progressive damage from inflammation and are part of, like, the plaques that cause heart disease. Researchers think that the vitamin C in gazpacho was primarily responsible.
Huh. So a nice picker-upper.
Yeah.
Is that a phrase?
Yeah.
It is now.
It's a good way to get your vegetables.
Yes. Yes. I concur. Numbers on gazpacho, you might be shocked to hear, are hard to find. But I would wager there's quite a lot of it being consumed in Spain in particular.
Yes. Yes. And I'd say it waxes and wanes in popularity through other places in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would agree.
Mm-hmm.
And this just about brings us to our history section.
But first, it brings us to a quick break for a word from our sponsor. This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
Let's hit it. Give me a vacation.
Vacation.
Give me a wave.
Surfing.
Give me a city tour.
The trolley.
Give me animals.
The zoo.
Give me some sea life. Give me museums.
Balboa Park.
Give me a woo.
Roller coaster.
What's that spell?
San Diego.
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your family vacation at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
As important as choosing the right destination when traveling is choosing the right travel partner.
Gene!
Eugene Fodor!
Gene, we'll boot it!
Much of the joy you will find on the road comes from the person you share it with.
So you write the books, Gene, and Vlastar on the business. I understand now. It's a wise man who marries a wiser woman.
But be careful and choose your travel partner well, because the worst trips result when two partners have two different agendas.
Get down!
I'm not stupid, Gene. Something is going on, and it's high time you tell me the truth.
Freeze, Americano!
Huh? Oh! Gene, run!
So travel before it's too late. Your money will return, your time won't, and we're all too quickly approaching that final destination.
Listen to Fodor's Guide to Espionage on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. Thank you, sponsor.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, so I have some opinions about this myself.
Oh, goodness. Okay.
But some historians say that ancient Roman soldiers were making an early form of gazpacho with their rations, which we did touch on in our MRE episode.
Oh, right.
February, but mm-hmm. as a reminder, olive oil, bread, salt, garlic, and vinegar. Still others say that there was a gazpacho prototype in the Bible. Throughout history, we have searched for ways to use up stale bread. And by we, I mean humanity.
Yes.
And not just Lauren and I.
Right.
And in the Book of Ruth, there is a mention of dipping bread in vinegar.
Is it?
But it does come up when you look up history of gazpacho, and I guess you can say it's a very, very early, early relative. I feel like usually there's a bit of a closer connect, but I am not the foremost historian, expert on this, so I will include it in here.
Okay.
Yes. Some believe that the Arabs who occupied Spain from the 8th century to the 12th century CE brought white soup with them, made with almonds, bread, garlic, salt, and olive oil.
And this is that ajo blanco that I was talking about earlier. And grapes or melon are used for garnish or sometimes in the soup itself.
Ooh.
But yeah, this is considered a legit gazpacho adjacent dish.
I feel like we're throwing some shade, and I don't mean to, personally. I don't know how this happened. Maybe I was just in a spicy mood when I wrote this. One of the first records of gazpacho was in a medicinal book prescribing it for stomach ailments. Soften the stomach and prevent putrefaction. Yeah, is what it was supposed to help you with.
So. Sure, okay.
Sounds nice. Mm-hmm. In the 17th century, Don Quixote's pal Sancho Panza mentioned gazpacho. Quote, "A reaping hook fits my hand better than a governor's scepter. I'd rather have my fill of gazpacho than be subject to the misery of a meddling doctor."
Oh.
Mm. Tomatoes have been a key ingredient in gazpacho since the 19th century, making the so-called red gazpacho that went international. See our tomato episode, which is one of my faves, for more. But basically, Spain was cultivating tomatoes soon after Columbus brought them back from his journey, definitely by the 16th century.
It took a minute for tomatoes to catch on because people thought that they were poisonous or, like, possibly caused you to become a werewolf.
I feel bad laughing because I'm sure it was very serious. But in our modern ears, it sounds funny.
It does. It is humorous to imagine someone avoiding eating a tomato because it might make them a werewolf.
It is. But also living a little on the wild side and using it for decoration only.
Oh, right. Because yeah, like look at this expensive toxic thing and look at how daringly close it is to my eating food.
Exactly.
Oh, humans, I love you.
I could become a werewolf at any minute. The gazpacho, like this red gazpacho, did follow soon after these tomatoes. People who planted and harvested tomatoes used gazpacho to keep them going. Landowners sometimes hired gazpacheros, who are people to make this cheap food and serve it to the folks working out in the field so they could keep working even longer. A 1747 description of gazpacho entailed soaking bread crust first in water, then in a sauce of garlic, anchovy bones, vinegar, sugar, salt, and olive oil. Once the bread was softened, fruits and vegetables were added in.
And yes, keep in mind that blenders did not exist at this point in history. So, I mean, neither did refrigerators. So two of the important elements that we have in making gazpacho today were missing. These big wooden bowls and big wooden pestles would have been used to grind all the ingredients together into kind of like a paste. And gazpacho.
And arm workout. At the time, it was definitely viewed as a food of the working class. From the 1611 book, The Treasury of the Spanish Language, it listed gazpacho as, quote, food for vulgar people.
Oh.
But by the 19th century, it had been embraced by the bourgeoisie. But they, of course, fancied it up with a bowl.
What?
A spoon.
Oh, my goodness.
Croutons. Chopped boiled eggs. Peppers and tomatoes. All of these were options. It was like kind of like a bar situation where you can be like, I want this. This. Anyway. Emperor Napoleon III's wife, Eugenia de Montijo, introduced France to gazpacho around this time as well.
And perhaps largely to northern Spain, because the dish came out of Andalusia, the southern chunk of Spain. And yeah, she insisted that gazpacho was served during their wedding banquet, apparently, in 1853. The dish had made its way to America by the 1800s. It was included in Mary Randolph's cookbook, The Virginia Housewife. Although it was called gazpacho, and the recipe didn't seem to call for smooshing. So I'm not sure. I think it might have just been like a salad, like an actual, like, just salad.
Like, not a liquid salad.
Not a liquid salad, but a salad salad.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And apparently it became trendy by the 1960s here in the States. In 63, one Betty Wasson wrote in The Art of Spanish Cooking that, quote, almost overnight, gazpacho, the soup salad of Spain, has become an American food fashion.
American food fashion.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Yeah.
It was a plot point from the 1988 Oscar-nominated film Women on the Verge of a Nervous Breakdown. And the plot point is that it's gazpacho laced with sleeping pills.
Yeah, yeah. Or I think Valium, maybe. You watch this character like putting the ingredients for gazpacho in a blender and just shoving in like a handful of Valium.
Oh, why?
They're women on the verge of a nervous breakdown.
It's right there in the title. You're right. What am I thinking?
And as of today in Spain, you can add a cup of gazpacho to your McDonald's meal for around €1.
Oh, wow. That's healthier than a lot of the options we have here.
Goodness, I know. And on rather the other end of the food spectrum, chefs are doing all sorts of lovely sounding things, adding diced mango macerated in anise liqueur, serving it in bowls made of woven cucumber slices, topped with red wine granada or green apple ice cream.
Ooh.
I know. I want to eat all of those things.
I do too. I have to say, I feel like I don't see gazpacho on menus around here too often, but I would love to see some of these.
Yeah, I can't think of the last time that I saw it on a menu in Atlanta.
It's Bacchanalia giving it in a little thimble, a muse-bouche. I don't think they even do that anymore because I'm pretty sure they changed how they, the whole menu.
Oh, sure.
Questions for later.
Yes.
Yes. But this brings us to the end of our history.
Mm-hmm. We do have some science. But
yes.
First, we've got one more quick break for a word from our sponsor. This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
Ready? Let's go. Give me a vacation.
Vacation!
Give me a golf course.
70 courses!
Let's get a water sport.
Paddleboarding!
Can I get excursions?
Whale watching!
Time for chill vibes.
Beach yoga!
How about a garden tour?
Balboa Park!
Give me a dolphin. What's that spell?
San Diego!
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your trip at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
As important as choosing the right destination when traveling is choosing the right travel partner.
Gene!
Eugene Fodor!
Gene, we'll boot it!
Much of the joy you will find on the road comes from the person you share it with.
So you write the books, Gene, and last hour on the business. I understand now. It's a wise man who marries a wiser woman.
But be careful and choose your travel partner well, because the worst trips result when two partners have two different agendas.
Get down!
I'm not stupid, Gene. Something is going on, and it's high time you tell me the truth.
Freeze, Americano!
Gene, run!
So travel before it's too late. Your money will return, your time won't, and we're all too quickly approaching that final destination.
Listen to Fodor's Guide to Espionage on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle. and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, the story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. Thank you, sponsor.
Yes, thank you. And yes, we're back with gazpacho science.
There's science for everything. It's wonderful.
There is, I know. So because gazpacho is a simple dish that highlights the flavors of raw vegetables, if you're going to make gazpacho, you want the best, ripest veg that you can find. Felicity Cloak, writing for The Guardian, said, "There is no point in making it with anything less than obscenely ripe ingredients."
Obscenely ripe.
I loved that. And further, as my very favorite food science writer, one J. Kenji Lopez-Alt, pointed out over on Serious Eats, the fact that you're not cooking this means that you need to find other ways to bring out the flavor of your veg. Part of that is a literal physical bringing out, because the flavor of a plant is often largely locked up inside of its stiff protective cell walls. Those flavors come from molecules that the plant uses to grow and to thrive. When we apply heat to foods, we're softening those cell walls to get that good stuff out. But heat is not the only way we can do this.
No.
No. Now, of course, the part of gazpacho where you blend or puree it means you're busting open some cell walls from, like, pure mechanical force. But there are a couple things that you can do to help the process along and make sure that you're getting the most out of those lovely, obscenely ripe ingredients. First, maceration. Maceration, not mastication, that's different, and is also different from another word that frequently people
confuse it with. I think I did that on this very show once.
Maceration is soaking something so that it softens and breaks down a bit. And a fun thing about fruit and veg is that you can macerate them in their own juices because of science. If you sprinkle vegetables with salt, it'll draw water out of the cells and then get to work on, and then that water will get to work on softening those vegetables. And a bonus, along with that water, some water-soluble compounds will come along for the ride. And some of those compounds are flavor.
Ooh.
So, if you chop up your gazpacho ingredients and then sprinkle them with salt and let them sit for like 30 minutes or more, they'll go juicy and get softer and release some of their flavors. This also works with sugar if you're making like a fruit salad and can be really nice, just a really good punch to like kind of just make everything a little bit. If you're looking for crisp, it's not the way to go.
Unless you put paper towels on top.
Oh.
And then set something on top, because that's how I make lasagna, but the noodles are like zucchini.
Uh-huh.
And you put salt on there, and then you put paper towels, and then a weight. And it helps drain out the liquid so that when you don't get a really liquidy casserole.
Oh, excellent.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, now I want lasagna. Okay. And in the case of gazpacho, you'll also want to macerate your bread just by soaking it in water. You should probably drain the softened bread so that you're not watering down the final soup.
Mm-hmm.
But next, after maceration, you can do something that I would normally never recommend doing to a tomato.
What?
You freeze it. I know. The reason that you normally do not want to freeze or even really refrigerate tomatoes is that they are very cold sensitive. A deep chill will soften their delicate cell walls and make them go all mushy, which is the opposite of what you want a tomato to be. But that's actually exactly what we're looking for here. So, yeah, salt your veg, freeze it overnight, and then thaw before blending. Get the most out of them.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Also, for best results, I have seen it suggested to refrigerate your gazpacho overnight so that all of the flavors really meld together.
Yeah, yeah. I'm usually too lazy to do that. And a lot of times I read it and there's a part of my brain says, no, that can't be true just because I know what's going on. You just don't want to wait.
Oh, yeah, I feel that one. I never remember to This is why I don't bring food to parties. Or if I do, it's like, I got carrots and some hummus.
Readily available. Will taste good how it is. Yes. Those are good, too.
Oh, hey, they're delicious.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm just hungry.
Yeah, okay. I think I am, too. I don't know what's going on right now. That's about all we have to say on Gazpacho.
That is a relatively short episode. But please, folks out there who are from Spain or who have visited, if you have any gazpacho stories, we would love to hear them.
Or recipes.
Oh, goodness. Or recipes. Yeah.
Yes. But we have heard in the meantime from some other listeners.
Uh-huh.
Because we are now at
listener mail.
Too cool for school, like gazpacho, except at your school where apparently you had it in Spanish class.
Yeah.
It's a big world out there.
It is. It's a wild world.
Gazpacho in Spanish class? What?
Coral Springs, Florida is a wacky place.
Well, I believe that, but...
So many strip malls. Anyway.
Yes. Anyway. Geneva wrote, I grew up in the Midwest, North Dakota to be exact, and lived within 3 blocks of a Taco John's.
Yeah.
We had a Taco Bell, but it wasn't as popular as the Taco John's in Bismarck. I did not realize that a majority of the states did not know the glorious Taco John's until moving out to Oregon. We got some great street tacos here, so not missing their tacos. But every once in a while, I get a craving for potato oles, which are basically salty coin-sized tater tots with the delicious and unhealthy nacho cheese sauce to dip them in.
Ooh, oh no.
When I was in Nebraska, there was a Taco Bell on one side of the street and a Taco John's on the other side near my work. And at lunch, I would go to Taco Bell to get a Doritos Locos taco and Taco John's to get oles, then go back and have a fantastic meal in my car. That sounds amazing. So many people have written in about Taco John's, and every single one of them, no joke, mentioned the potato oles, which I think now is just updated and has a different carton, which is a big deal, apparently.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So if you're in the region, someone passing through, live there, Taco John's, potato oles.
Check it
Not
out.
Not a sponsorship.
No.
Just saying what the listeners have informed us
we
about.
We are merely reporting.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Rose wrote, I really enjoyed your recent episode on the humble sweet potato, as they are delicious, and brought back one of my fondest memories of my 1 year study abroad to Tokyo, Japan. Picture it. It's the fall of 2007. I am once again a stranger in a strange land. I'm German and immigrated to the U.S. at age 15, freshly arrived from Seattle to Tokyo to partake in a year-long intensive program at the best private university, Keio. Each evening, I walled myself off in my private dorm room, studying away, feeling culture shock and utterly lost in this new environment. Until one evening in early October, a mournful cry matched my homesick melancholy. The voice from a passing loudspeaker called, Yakimo! Saitama Yakimo! At first, I paid no mind to these mourning cries. I could hardly understand what the sad voice was even saying. In just 3 short weeks, I had heard similar messages announcing the gas men, political candidates, the large appliance household recycling truck, and more. There is a truck and a loudspeaker in Japan for every possible service. Unlike these others, who would at most only come around once a week, the Yakimo truck began to come by every single night, interrupting my studies. The other trucks came by midday or early evening. Yakimo man came by late at night, 7, 8, or 9 o'clock. Finally, I couldn't take it. Who was the sad Yakimo man and what was a Yakimo? I had to find out. So, one night, when his melancholy cries started up, I dropped my studies to follow the mysterious voice. I chased him down narrow streets, blocked by dead ends. I'd turn right, he'd go left, past the cemetery and the old neighborhood Buddhist temple. Then I turned the corner, and there it was. A small flatbed Japanese truck with a raging wood-burning fire in the bed of the truck. Over the fire was a roasting drum like what's used to roast chilies in the fall in the United States. I was gobsmacked. The radiant heat was so intense I could feel it from a yard away. As I approached the truck, a young child and his mother excitedly exchanged money for a brown paper bag. As soon as the boy received the bag, he tore it open to reveal a perfectly roasted sweet potato. He split the sweet potato in half and without ceremony dug in. No condiments needed. In that instant, watching this scene unfold, I realized I was looking at the Japanese version of the ice cream man. I was hooked. I ordered 2 on the spot and never looked back.
That's beautiful. And I would like to say, because this is not a visual medium, we were doing interpretive reading.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Not dancing, not, per se.
Yeah, it's dance adjacent. But
very close. Not quite, but very close. That sounds amazing. I would love that.
Oh, yeah. Mm. That Mm-mm. that sounds so good. And I hope I don't think I quite captured the melancholy that it sounds like this man was crying his wares with.
I think you did a pretty excellent job.
Also, my Japanese is super rusty, so I hope that I got most of those words vaguely correct.
Did better than I would have done.
Well, there you go.
There you go. Also wanted to include Shannon sent us a picture that she witnessed in downtown Chicago. And it's a Hostess Twinkie trailer. And it looks like a big Twinkie.
It's a real giant Twinkie trailer. It is a thing of beauty.
It really is.
I would be so disappointed if I like boarded this trailer and it wasn't filled with cream, though.
That's true. We can't delve in anymore. We can't let the dream die. Because right now we can still believe it.
It's just giant, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, mm-hmm. Oh, Twinkies. I've
never had a Twinkie.
You've never had a Twinkie?
Yes, and our coworker Ramsey, for a while, he wanted to do like an up-close Twinkie reaction video of me trying it, and it never happened.
On like moral grounds or?
No, it's just never come my way.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, things to work on.
Yes. Self-improvement are always a work in progress. You know, I've got a lot of good traits, but on the bad side, never had a Twinkie. Probably a lot of people are like, she is weird. Something is clearly off.
I don't think I had one until college. My dad was very firm about not having food like that in the house.
And thanks to all three of them for writing us.
Yeah.
You too can write to us, and we would love to hear from you. Our email is hello@saverpod.com.
We're also on social media. You can find us on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram, all at SaverPod. We do hope to hear from you. Saver is a production of iHeartRadio and Stuff Media. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, you can visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. Thank you, as always, to our super producers, Dylan Fagan and Andrew Howard. Thanks to you for listening. And we hope that lots more good things are coming your way. This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
Let's hit it. Give me a vacation.
Vacation.
Give me a wave.
Surfing.
Give me a city tour.
The trolley.
Give me animals.
The zoo.
Give me some sea life. Give me museums.
Balboa Park.
Give me a woo.
Roller coaster.
What's that spell?
San Diego.
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your family vacation at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.